singing without music. Amen. My brother, he told me they found him a musician. They hired a musician and paying him well. Paying him well. Amen. We're going to continue. We're working our way to this whole armor of God. We're three quarters of a way home, and really a fascinating lesson today. I know y'all say it sounds like a broken record. Broken record. Fascinating message. Found in verse 18, 19, and 20 of Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to, just to pick up the contents of it, we're going to go back to verse 14, and we're going to read verse 14 to 21. And then we're going to speak from the subject of spirit-filled living. Mm-hmm. Spirit-filled living. Amen. Verse 14 of Ephesians chapter 5. It says, "Wherefore he said, Awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. Mm-hmm. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Amen. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." Amen. Father, thank you. Thank you for putting the fear of God in our lives. Amen. Thank you for giving us a spirit, Father God, that we understand that the days are evil and we ought to redeem the time. Yes. Thank you, Father God, for giving us godly wisdom. Yes. For awakening us when we were asleep, when we was asleep in our sins and trespasses. Thank you, Father God, for giving us a heart to sing spiritual songs and hymns and making melody in our hearts. Thank you, Father God, for giving us a heart to love one another. Thank you, Father God, for the Word of God that is able to make us better and stronger and wiser so we can live in this evil world. Thank you for all those that are gathered here today, Father God. Give them ears to hear and bless them, Father God. In the name of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Spirit-filled living. Immediately when a preacher say spirit-filled living, our minds just race. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Spirit-filled living. And I thought it was really interesting that the apostle, after speaking to us the last few weeks on how to walk this Christian life, and he said, "Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness," in verse number 11, and he gave us so much about how to live. Mm-hmm. Okay. Not having our understanding darkened and living a certain way. He never mentioned drinking. He never mentioned alcohol use. He said we ought not, in verse number 5, 3, be participating in fornication and uncleanness and covetousness. He said in verse 4, filthiness and foolish talking and jesting. Uh-huh. He said we ought not be idolaters or covetous. He never mentioned alcohol as part of that. And you would think that it would just go along with all that. But the city of Ephesus was a Gentile city. These were Gentile believers that came out of a lifestyle of drinking. Drinking was popular then, it's popular now. Okay? People didn't just start drinking today. Okay? They didn't have cars back then, but they probably ran their horses and donkeys into each other. I don't know. Okay? They probably got on the wrong animal and fights broke out and, you know, things happened. But it says here, and I was online and I was looking at this alcohol use and health, and this is a report from the National Center of Addiction and Substance Abuse, and it says there are approximately 80,000 deaths a year attributed to excessive alcohol intake. 80,000. This is 2006. This makes excessive alcohol use the third leading lifestyle-related cause of death for the nation. It says excessive alcohol use is responsible for 2.3 million years of potential life loss annually, every year. 2.3 million, that means folks dying early. They dying young because of drinking. Okay? It says the economic cost. Now this is, you would think this would be a part of Congress and they'd be thinking about, they're always trying to save money. It says the economic cost of excessive alcohol consumption in 2006 was estimated at $223 billion a year. That's what we pay for excessive alcohol consumption. How about this one? I've said this before. I didn't know the numbers were this high. 85% of all murders in the United States was done or committed by someone using alcohol. Think about that. You're sitting around drinking with your buddies. There's a good chance they may kill you. How about that? 78% of violent crimes. So we talk about murders a lot, but we don't talk about people that get shot. You see all these young people riding around in these little carts. Most of them get shot. They don't talk about them. They don't make the news. When you get shot in the back and you're paralyzed from the neck down. And they don't make the news. 78% of all violent crimes was committed by someone using alcohol. 83% of all property crimes. Got the block watch lady here with me today. She can take this back to the block watch meeting. 83% of property crimes were committed by someone using alcohol. How about this one? 77% of all parole violations are because of alcohol abuse. 34,833 people died in 2006 from sclerosis of the liver. 40,933 people died in alcohol-related car accidents. 1 Peter 4 and 3. Now, I know that's a lot of information. And for the time, 1 Peter 4 and 3, for the time past our lives may suffice, for the time past our lives may suffice us to have robbed the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excessive wine. Why is Paul mentioning wine? Pastor, why are you bringing this up? Why is he talking about alcohol? Because our text takes us there. The text says in verse 18, be not drunk with wine. Okay? Wherein in excess, debauchery. But the contrast is where we want to pay attention to today. but be filled with the Spirit. So Paul's using this contrast here. And many of us know folks that like to drink. And once they get that alcohol in them, the alcohol does what?
Takes over.
It controls them. Okay, I've said it to the young people. I'll say it again. With the advent of these cell phones, you go out and get stoned, and these young boys is taking advantage of these young girls, and then videotaping the whole scene and putting you on Facebook. That's hard to overcome. You didn't have cell phones in the 60s and 70s. Praise the Lord. Not saying that because we was any better. I'm not preaching you to any of you from a position that I've been holier than thou all my life. We just didn't have cell phones. With cameras. Amen. But Paul is saying here, what alcohol does to an individual, the Holy Spirit ought to do to the saved person. What alcohol does to the unsaved, the Holy Ghost ought to do to the saved. Okay? So really, I just have 3 points. What is the evidence of one being filled with the Spirit? What happens to a Spirit-filled person after they receive the Holy Spirit? And then we want to talk about the person of the Holy Spirit. So when you receive the Holy Spirit, you receive the person of the Holy Spirit. And as alcohol comes into your life, into your system, and you get saturated with alcohol, and I know some folks that like to drink and are drunks, they are controlled by the alcohol. Yeah. Karaoke machines were invented in bars. Okay. So those who wouldn't sing naturally, you can get them to sing in here to save your soul. Fill them up with some good old vodka or rum or Canadian or Jack Daniels. That came from the deacon board. But they'll sing. You can't get them to stop singing. But just like alcohol makes the drunkard sing, the Holy Spirit ought to make the person of God want to sing. You ought to want to sing. Amen. That's one of the first evidences that Paul gives for the person who have received the Holy Spirit. They want to sing. Okay? So, this Spirit-filled living. Now, the Word of God talks about all kind of feelings that you can have. And I know I've talked about our cell phones, and we have all these battery-operated gadgets anymore. And they have to be feel. They have to have power to operate, or they will start blinking and beeping and making noise. My brother, I talk about him because we talk a lot. When his Bluetooth goes out, it just starts screaming at me. And I was like, Tom, your Bluetooth is run out of juice. But in Matthew, he talks about the net. When Jesus sent out the net, it was filled with fish. When the lady broke the alabaster box, Mary, the room was filled with a fragrance. In Acts 2:2, when the Spirit of God came into the room like a mighty rushing wind, the whole place was filled with that noise. I like 2 Timothy 1:4. It talks about the person being filled with joy when they're in the company of a loved one. When you see someone that you haven't seen that you love and you love to be with, then your heart is filled with joy. Colossians 1:9 says we can be filled with the knowledge of God's will. I like that one. To be filled. Knowledge of God's will. Acts 5 and 3 says, Ananias and Sapphira were filled with satanic deceitfulness. We can be filled with evil too. We can be filled with evil. But the first point here, what is the means or what is the evidence of one being filled with the Holy Ghost? In verse number 18, it says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Let me say this. If you are a Christian, if you have been born again, you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. You have received the Holy Spirit upon the confession of your faith and the acceptance of God. You have received the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You don't have to wait around for anything. There's no second blessings. God is not asking you to be sealed or to be filled. He's saying you are filled.
Amen.
You get it all.
Amen.
You get it all. You're not waiting around. Okay? There's nothing you need to do. Okay? No? Nope. Listen. Now that you have that Holy Spirit. And I know that's troubling. Because some people say, well, I'm a Christian and I don't have the Holy Spirit. How do you say that? Look at Acts 19. And Acts 19 sort of talks about Christianity today. Because everybody's a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
19. I believe this is Paul. Paul's on the move and he's telling everybody that he meets about Jesus. In Acts 19, it says, and it came to pass while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus.
Mm-hmm.
And finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? How about that? He ran across some disciples. This was a John's disciple. He asked them that question. And this is a question you can ask same folks. Ask your co-workers who tell you they're Christians. Ask them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Or when you believe that you received the Holy Ghost. Now that can come up, you can come up with a whole lot of responses to that.
Yeah.
Be careful. This is what their answer is. And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether they be any Holy Ghost.
All right. Yeah.
Listen folks, I want you to know today that you need the Holy Ghost. Okay? If you are a Christian, if you are a man or woman of God, and you say, I have not received the Holy Ghost, receive the Holy Ghost. That's right. Acts 1 and 8 said, when the Holy Ghost comes, you will receive power. And if you don't have power in your life, you may not have the Holy Ghost. Look at verse 3. And he said unto them,
mm-hmm.
Here's Paul.
Yes.
Unto what then were you baptized?
Uh-huh.
I mean, if you call yourself a Christian, call yourself a man of God, a woman of God, and you have not received the Holy Ghost, then unto what have you been baptized then? And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Well, John's baptism only prepared you for the coming of the Messiah. John's baptism was to prepare you, to get you to repent from your sin. But John said, there's one coming. There's one coming. There's more mightier than me. Whose shoes I am not able to even untie.
Uh-huh.
When he comes, he will baptize you in the Holy Ghost.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people, verse 4,
uh-huh.
that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Jesus Christ. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Look at verse 6 now. This is where we can get in a lot of trouble, but we're not.
Yeah.
And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. What was that about?
Mm-hmm.
Tongues are a sign for unbelievers. The moment they spoke in tongues was a sign to Paul that they had received the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Hmm. That's troubling. Do I need to speak in tongues today?
No.
No, you don't. Tongues were a sign for unbelievers. Okay? This was an act of God, a miraculous act of God, basically saying that tongues were going out now into the Gentile world.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, when we look at verse number 18 again, he says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Paul is teaching us that when you receive it, tongues isn't the issue. There are other things that you're gonna do. And first and foremost, in verse 19, he says, this is gonna happen.
Right.
Speaking to yourselves in psalms. Okay? Here's the evidence of one receiving the Holy Spirit. You're gonna speak to yourselves in psalms. And he's saying you're gonna want to sing. And psalms is music that was accompanied by instruments, drums, and in the Old Testament times when David was singing, they had all the instruments was going, and they were giving praise unto the Lord through psalms. Okay? Psalms are different than hymns. Hymns were songs directly directed to God. Okay, I took a list of the greatest hymns of all time, and we all probably could guess what the number one is. Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace. Now I jumped around, now I picked the ones I liked out. So number four, I skipped three and four, through two and three, but number four was Holy, Holy, Holy. Think about what Holy, Holy, Holy is singing. It's a song directly to God. Okay? How great thou art. Be thou my vision. It is well with my soul. In the garden, this little light of mine, just a closer walk with thee. Nearer to God, to my God, to thee. Blessed assurance. The 23rd Psalm. O rugged cross, to God be the glory. What a friend we have in Jesus. Those are hymns. Those are songs that the Spirit-filled man, knowing how good God has been to them, will sing with joy. Oh, you won't have to beg them. You won't have to prowl them. You won't have to... God, you've been so good. What else is there for me to do but sing praises to your name? Begging folks to sing is not healthy. It is a sign of an unhealthy spirit. You're going to not only sing psalms, you're going to sing hymns, but then you're going to have some spiritual songs. I like the spiritual songs one because, see, spiritual song deals with what's in your heart, what's in your emotion. You know, God is dealing with you, and while he was dealing with you, he delivered you from something, and now you have a song on your heart. Listen, here's one. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. How about Swing Low? Sweet Chariot. Oh, sacred spiritual songs. Here's one. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. That's personal. That's personal, and somebody sang it to you. And it related to you. Because see, that song came from someone who went through something. See, we sing the one, I never would have made it without you. And some of us know that. Some of us have experienced that. Some of us have been through some stuff, and we can look back and say, never would have made it. Because we've been through it. And I've been through it. And if you live with the Lord and walk with the Lord long enough, you will know He has brought you through some stuff. Brought you through. And you will say, like the brother said, I never would have made it without you. Listen, I like this stuff. Now you're going to sing some things. And then you're going to walk around the house. You got a song. Some of us got a song. We walk around the house. That's called a melody. It's a melody. He says, and then you, not only will you sing spiritual songs and hymns, you will sing melody. You will have a melody in your heart. And a melody, it's like got a rhythm to it. Make you move a little bit. I like that. It make you move a little bit. Yeah, I think about Paul and Silas. Y'all remember Paul and Silas? They cast a demon possessed. They cast a demon out of the demon possessed woman. And they was cast in jail. And they was beaten and put in stocks. They sang a melody. Somebody said, how you know it's a melody? Somebody said it because it made God tap his foot. And when God tapped his foot, the earthquake came into the jail. Open up all them doors. See, we need to have a nice melody to our lives. It ought to make God happy. God ought to look down at us and say, what about Job? You know, have you, he ought to be able to tell Satan, you know, what about Job? Test him. He's filled with the Spirit. I like that. You got a melody? You got a song? I like it sometimes when some folks just hop up here, you know, burn it and run up here with a song. Y'all always have a song. Nate always got a song. Y'all may not like it, but it ain't to you. Y'all may look at him saying, why he reading? He got to read. No, it ain't to you. He's singing to the Lord. He's singing to the Lord. I listened to Nate talk yesterday out there. We were working out in the yard. He was talking. He said he'd been stopped 14 times on the way to work. Never got a ticket. He said he'd been pulled over 14 times. Never got a ticket. 20 years. They turn up the gospel music when the cop comes shining light in the car. Never would have made it. But you know what? They've been working at the prison for 20 years and been in some stuff. And see, you ought to have a song in your heart when you know where God has brought you from. When you know how God has dealt with you, you ought to have a song in your heart. Oh, listen. Not only will that person have a song in his heart, that person will be a thankful person. That person will be a thankful person. That person will understand how good God has been, understand what God done by sending his only son to this earth and die for our sins. That person will be thankful. He will enter into the gates, how? With thanksgiving. Everyone has to get up here and try to stir us up. You ought to come to church. Stir it up. You ought to come to church stirred up, excited about an opportunity to come and be with folks that love the Lord. Folks that praise the Lord where the Word of God is being taught and preached. We ought to be happy. We ought to come in here ready to go. Ready to go. Boy, ain't nobody got to get excited when I see these folks at these basketball games. They come in there. They ready to go, man. They got their shirts on. I remember the last Browns game I went to. It was a Sunday night game. My brother took me, and I said, I can't go on Sunday morning. Now, you get one at a late game, I'll go. And he found one. And I'm up in Brown Stadium, 75,000 folks drunk. And all of them had on orange, and I had a gray sweatshirt on. And my brother like, what's wrong with you? He wasn't saved. Now he's saved. Now he understands. And he's like, where your brown shirt at? I don't have no brown shirt. And I was the only one there with a gray shirt on. I see. Yeah, and I was like, wow. Listen, but them folks was fired up. They was fired up. And that alcohol was just flowing. I mean, and then, you know, I don't know how anybody enjoyed the game. Because they get up, they go get some beer, then they get up and go to the bathroom. Get up and get some beer, get up and go to the bathroom. And they just walk in front of you the whole time. I'm holding six beers. Guys got six beers. Wasting them all over the place. They was under the control. Listen. Are you a thankful person? Why should I be thankful? That's interesting. How about this one? But God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's enough of a reason right there to be thankful. Because God could have allowed us to die in our sins. But while we were sweeping sin, dead in our trespass, God shook us. So you wonder why? Everybody ain't getting shook. That ought to give you more reason to thank. God, you didn't shook me. You didn't woke me up. But all my friends are still asleep. Maybe He woke you up so you can wake them up. How about that? You know, every person that God has saved has become a worker or a warrior for the Lord. Amen. Now that's interesting because we don't like to think about it like that. Look at Exodus 17. We're going to go to 17 and 31. Look at this. God has not saved you to sit on the sidelines. And some of y'all, when y'all was in high school, I know when my daughter was in high school playing basketball, she hated that she didn't start because she knew she was better than everybody else. But now we come to the church and we said we don't have a problem sitting on the bench. We don't have no problem. We can sit, ride the pine. Some of us just ride the pine. When in high school didn't make the cheerleading squad, fighting like cats and dogs. I knew I should have made it. Uh-huh. See, we don't fight no everybody make it.
Yeah.
Cheerleaders can't even get off the ground, cheerleaders. Everybody cheerleader now. Cheerleader falling out, can't even do a cartwheel cheerleader. You all and it's just what the world is doing to the church. Just making a level playing field.
Yeah.
Everybody the same. Everybody the same. God's people are not the same.
Amen.
Look at Exodus 17. We'll start at 8. I think this is fascinating. Talk about Joshua. God called him. Then came Amalek. And fought with Israel at Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, choose us out men. How about that? And go out and fight with the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. And Joshua did as Moses said, had said to him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed, and when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on one side,
and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua just comforted Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Listen, I read that to verse 31 because the man God uses will be a warrior. Will be a warrior. Look at 31, Exodus 31. Verse number 1. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, "Ye have called by name Bezalel, the son of Urim, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah." Now, y'all know who that is? Bezalel, you know who he is? He is Hur's grandson. Hey, y'all with me? He is Hur's grandson. He is a man of God's grandson. Look at verse 3. Exodus 31, verse 3. Look at verse 3, what it says. This is what God is speaking to Moses. And he's speaking this to every spirit-filled believer in this place. "I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship." There's no such thing as a man filled with the Spirit that has no gifts and no talents and no knowledge and not being a worker. Look what God did. Verse 4, "to devise cunning works, to work in gold and silver and brass, and the cutting of stones, and to set them in carving of timber, to work in all manner of workmanship." When God fills you with the Spirit of God, He has filled you for a purpose. You are filled for a purpose. He didn't save you for you to sit around and watch other folks work.
Amen.
He feels you to jump in and get involved.
Yes, sir.
When we start talking about spirit-filled men, it didn't start in the New Testament. Joseph was spirit-filled.
Amen.
If you read Genesis, and I don't have time. And here's the second point. A spirit-filled person will proclaim the gospel. See, we miss this. We miss this. We believe a spirit-filled person is speaking tongues and got to be slain in the Spirit and run all around and do cartwheels and all that stuff. A spirit-filled person will proclaim the gospel. If you want to know if you're spirit-filled or not, ask yourself, when is the last time you shared the gospel with a lost soul? With a lost relative, with a lost son or daughter? When is the last time you invited someone to come to church and said, "I'll pick you up and bring you"? Look, turn to Luke. We see Elizabeth. I just like to use biblical examples to back up what God's word is saying. Amen. And it came to pass, verse 41, chapter 1, Luke 1. And it came to pass, now this is Mary had already heard from the angel Gabriel that she was having a child. And it was going to be named Jesus, and he's going to be Savior of the world. And Mary couldn't wait to run to her cousin Elizabeth and tell her the good news. Because the angel said Elizabeth was with a child too. Now, in verse 41, now Mary came into the house, and she saluted Elizabeth. She said, "How you doing, cuz or auntie," whatever Elizabeth was to her. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, a babe leaped in her womb. Remember them days, Jalen? Baby leaping. Settle down. And the babe leaped in her mother's womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost.
Huh? Now watch what she does. Because she didn't speak in tongues. And she began to speak with a loud voice. Listen, you're going to speak the gospel. She's going to preach the gospel now. She's going to speak the gospel. She's going to start talking about Jesus and prophesying. Look what she says. And she spake out with a loud voice. Basically meaning she had some authority now. She had power now. And she said, blessed art thou among women. And blessed be the fruit of thy womb. What? How did she even know that? All Mary had done was saluted her. And now she's starting to prophesy. She started to talk about Jesus. The spirit-filled person, once you receive the Holy Ghost, you're going to speak about Jesus. That's all you're going to do. The Holy Ghost came and said, when I come, the Holy Ghost's job was to do what? Speak about Jesus. Talk about Jesus. Lead folks to Jesus. Point to Jesus. That's all the Holy Spirit does, is cause a person to point to Jesus. And if you feel with the Holy Ghost, you're going to point to Jesus. Your life will point to Jesus. People on your job will say, I know how a spirit-filled person lives now because I work with you, and all you do every day is point to Jesus. Every situation you get in, you point to Jesus. Well, we've gotten away from that. Are you spirit-filled? Or are you? Look at Mary. Look at Elizabeth. Look at verse 43. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Oh, Mary was filled with the Holy Ghost too. And Mary chimed right in and Mary said, my soul do magnify the Lord, and my spirit have rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. You know what? Zacharias in verse 67, chapter 1, got chimed right in too once God loosed his tongue. And Zacharias, verse 67, and his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost. Didn't speak in tongues. Didn't start shouting and running around and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant. Listen, we can go on and on and on. Stephen, Acts 6:5, was a man full of faith and the Holy Ghost. And preached the word of God. Look at Acts 7 and 1 through 60. We're not going to read it. But the first chance Stephen got to open his mouth, he preached his one and only sermon.
Yeah. Amen.
Acts 9 and 20, Paul received the Holy Spirit on his way to Damascus to brutalize and murder and cart all Christians to prison. And look at Acts 9. Look at Paul. Look at Paul in verse 20. How about this? This evil, wicked man. Evil, wicked man. That's what Ananias said. And when God called Ananias, said, I want you to go lay hands on this man. And Ananias said, No. I'm not going near that fool. He's crazy. We heard all that he'd done. We aren't going near him. And Paul was breathing out anger. In verse 13, Ananias said, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he have done to the saints at Jerusalem. And here he have authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. Ananias was full of the Holy Ghost. The Lord wouldn't have went to him. And look at verse 15. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel of mine. Look at verse 17. Spirit-filled man, be obedient. Look at Ananias. Verse 17, Ananias went his way. As you heard about that. Hold up. Look at verse 19. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Paul certain days with the disciples which were in Damascus, and straightway, after he received the Holy Ghost, in verse 17, straightway, what did he do? Preach Christ in the synagogues. Let's get to the last point, because we can go on and on. My personality. I'm about the person of the Holy Spirit. Job said he creates life. Job said that in Job 33. Person of the Holy Spirit. This is why we believe that God in three persons. Look at Acts 13:2. Why you should have your finger on Acts. We talk about this stuff and we always talk about God in three persons, but you know, why would we call him a person? See, a lot of us, we need to know what we know. Why do we call him a person? Because a person talks to you. A person will give you directions. And you see the Holy Ghost. You know, back in the day, we sit here and somebody say, well, it's an it. And Baptist folks would fight. No, it's a person. The Holy Ghost is a person. And as they minister to the Lord, all the disciples were together, many of them. And as they ministered to the Lord, Acts 13:2, and fasted, because they was looking for direction, the Holy Ghost said, what? The Holy Ghost is talking to these folks. And if you have the Holy Spirit will talk to you. And if the Spirit is in you, is talking to you, and you doing foolishness and crazy stuff and things that are contrary to the Word of God, you can rest assured it's not the Holy Spirit. And as they minister to the Lord, filled with the Holy Spirit are going to be doing ministry. And as they minister to the Lord, verse number 2, and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And you know what they did? They separated. They listened to the Holy Ghost. They listened to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, not only does he speak to you, the Holy Spirit helps you in your infirmities. The Bible said we don't even know what sometimes to pray for. And the Holy Spirit will tell you what to pray for. He teaches. John 3:16-13 said the Holy Ghost teaches. How about this? The Holy Ghost can be grieved. How many have been grieved? How many have had the Holy Spirit in you grieved by this world? This world ought to grieve the Holy Spirit that's in you. Our spirit ought to have been grieved when we heard of those shootings up in Sandy Lake. Our spirits should have been grieved. We've heard of the bombing over in Boston. Our spirits should have been grieved when the President of the United States calls a sodomite on the telephone and congratulates him for being openly gay and coming out. That ought to grieve you. Oh, and I know we love our black president, but it ought to grieve us that this president had the audacity to call this man the Jackie Robinson of the world. It ought to grieve you. The Holy Spirit can be vexed. It can be annoyed. It can be anger. It can be displeased. The Holy Spirit can be resisted. You don't have to receive him. You don't have to accept him. That's what Stephen got stoned for, because he called the Pharisees a bunch of stiff-necked. Why do you always resist the Holy Ghost? Some of you here have resisted and resisted and resisted the Holy Ghost. And one day the Holy Ghost is going to say, Ichabod. And send you strong delusions, and you won't be able to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. what I need to do. Pastor, you give a lot of information. You spitting and slobbering all over. You act like a desperate man. You act like we going to hell. How do I receive the Holy Ghost if I don't have it? If my heart's saying I don't want it, I don't want it. I don't want to be governed. I don't want to be ruled. See, this is what the Holy Ghost does. Comes into your house and into your world, and you're not in charge no more.
Amen.
You don't go where you want to go. You don't do what you want to do. Tozer tells a story of the man who was boasting and bragging and said, well, you know, God is my partner. He rides with me. He rides shotgun with me. He's my co-pilot. We've heard all this stuff. And Tozer say, listen, his using that saying analogy, he said, listen, God is not your co-pilot. And God is not your partner. If God is in your life, He is in total control. And if you want to use a car illustration, it'll be sort of like God is driving. And you're not in the front seat. And you're not in the back seat. You're locked in the trunk. And where God takes you, that's where you go. And when you get there, He opens the trunk and says, there you go. God is in control. And when the Holy Ghost comes into a person's life, that life changes. Now, if you're here and you're doing anything you big and bad enough to do, and you go on places where you know God's folk aren't, and the Holy Ghost presence is not there, then you on your own.
Amen.
And we got a lot of saints of God on their own.
Yeah.
And it's a sad day. It's a sad day in the church because folks don't have the Holy Ghost and believe they're on their way to heaven. Not so. Not so. So where are you? You ride shotgun? Or are you in the trunk? In the trunk. God has been good to us, church. God has been good to us. He's brought us from a mighty long way. And there's so much work to do. But it's impossible to do work without the Lord. At one point was made, sing a melody with your heart, with your lips, not with your tongue, with your heart.
Amen.
Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the Holy Spirit coming into our lives and just taking over, running things, causing me to look at my life and make the necessary adjustments. Things in my life that I need to deal with. And I don't have the power to. The Word of God says when the Holy Ghost comes, you have power. Well, how do I get this Holy Ghost? The Word of God said we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart. Thou shalt be saved. Now there's more. You need to believe in the resurrection. You need to believe that God died for your sins. Not only died for your sins, but he was buried and rose on the third day. Not only did he rise, but now he sits on high. And when he left the Holy Ghost to comfort us. That word comfort means to strengthen us, to stand beside us, and to walk with us. Father, I need the Holy Spirit today. I need the power of the Holy Ghost in my life. I got addictions. I got relationships. I got sickness in my life. I got problems with anger. I got problems at work. I got problems in my life that are bigger than me. And I need something bigger than them problems. Father God, I ask that you would just right now, if anyone in here, Father God, knows that they don't have what they need. They don't have the Holy Spirit. Tell Father God. Give them the ability to cry out, Father God. Lord, help me find the mess that I'm in. Guide and direct me. I want to be more like Jesus. I want to walk this Christian life. In the name of Jesus, we pray all those things. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.